it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. It's kind of toasty. I got news for you. It's close to 90. We got some great stuff headed our way. Julio Rosas is going to be with us from The Blaze. He's the guy who's coming to town just about a week from now for the Virginia Council. He's been doing some amazing reporting. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely amazing reporting. I've been asked by the Virginia Council to be part of the program. I'm looking forward to it. Just to, help facilitate a discussion with Julio as part of it. It'll be great fun. So that's going to happen at 3:35. Got our pal John Reed's going to join us at 4:35. John picked up some interesting endorsements yesterday, and many of them I'm very happy to see. And one of them actually came from Joe Morrissey. I can't think of a more vile human being than Joe Morrissey. I honest to goodness, I mean, it's the first thing, his endorsement of John Reed, I think, is a very nice thing for John. I mean, it simply shows that John is picking up support all across the political spectrum. John needs Democrats to win. You know that. I know that. He certainly knows that. And so he has been reaching out. Morrissey is weighing in on the Ghazala Hashmi candidacy, simply saying, hey, I worked with her in the Senate. I know what a crazy extremist she is. So, look, take it for what it's worth. Again, how would I describe this? I want to be as nice and as charitable as possible. I personally would not whiz on Joe Morrissey if he were on fire. But, you know, that's me. Other people's mileage may vary. My skin crawls thinking about him. But that being said, I would ask you, as you look at the Democrats for Reed, to kind of look past that one. That's the one the media has seized on, of course, the legacy news media, because even they know that the name Morrissey, and not the good Morrisseys. You know, we got great Morrisseys in Central Virginia. We got Emily Morrissey, for goodness sakes, from emilysbracelets.com. Do we love anybody named Morrissey more than Emily Morrissey? I don't think so. It'd be tough. Now she's got some great family. Now, her brother PJ, I mean, we love him. But do we love PJ as much as Emily? I don't know. Her mom and dad, Dan and Kristen, great people, love them. They're part of our family. But really, do we love Dan and Kristen Morrissey as much as Emily? I don't know. But those are the good Morrisseys. Then you got the other one, who used to be the senator. All of that being said, gang, I know the legacy media is hanging their hat on that one. They're going to beat that one into the ground. They already started. And you know, if you've spent any time with me, exactly how I feel about Joe Morrissey and his legacy. Right? And I just reminded you a little bit. So that's all I'm going to say about that, because when I talk with John, I do want to talk about the endorsements from Democrats. But I'm telling you right now, there's some pretty major Democrats who are on board with John Reed because they know just what a lunatic Ghazala Hashmi is. So we'll talk about that at 4:30. We got Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, citizen reporter, joining us at 5:30 as well. I did hear just a couple of moments ago this idea pitched for gun-free zones, right? Shock-o-bottom. Jeff, We got a lot of violence down there. We got a lot of gun violence. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a gun-free zone. Uh-huh. What does that mean exactly? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means you're going to put up at city taxpayer expense a couple of signs somewhere through the bottom that say, this is a gun-free zone. Uh-huh. How many criminals do you think are going to look at that sign and go, oh, man. Oh, gosh. Here I was, I was headed out tonight. I got a piece of equipment with me, and I was going to victimize some people, but oh man, I just read one of those signs that Dr. Donnie Avuli ordered erected, so I'm going to turn around now. I'm going to walk home. Do I have enough time to steal a car? No. Oh, well, if I steal a car in the bottom, but I don't want to use my gun because the sign right there says it's a gun-free zone. I can't do that. How many criminals you think are going to sign on to that? That's just moronic. It really is. It really is. All that gun-free zones create are victim locations. And I did hear Chief Rick Edwards, and you know, I think the world of Rick Edwards. I really do. I think he's just a cop's cop and a decent guy through and through. And I know he's in a tough situation. You are the chief of the police department for the city of Richmond. You're dealing with a wide variety of issues and a wide variety of agendas on any daily basis. But when he talks about apparently, perhaps, his support for one of these so-called gun-free zones, he talks about Times Square, and he says, even people who have carry permits don't carry guns in these areas. Well, the people who have carry permits don't carry guns in those areas because they are, in fact, law-abiding citizens, as evidenced by the fact that they have been issued a carry permit. They already follow the law. And I got news for you. What you want in some of these areas are law-abiding citizens who have carry permits. Would I personally go to the bottom if it were declared to be a gun-free zone? Hell no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Would I go to the bottom now knowing that I can carry? Well, I suppose if there was something there that I really, really, really wanted to do, or Heidi really, really, really wanted to do, but that's the only way I would go. Am I going in there unarmed, sitting duck, victim status? No. No. I'm sorry. Forget it. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. No. I got to protect myself. I got to protect my family. So I just think that's a ridiculous idea. Absolutely absurd. Oh, one other thing I got to mention, and then we're going to deal with the sort of return of that Jimmy Kimmel character. I am looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. A number of people saying, hey, there is no legitimacy to this idea that, quote, both sides need to tone down the rhetoric. I don't know exactly who it was that said it or when they said it. But I totally agree with you. I completely and totally agree with you. We just had another shooting situation, another criminal situation, another murder take place down in Dallas, Texas. Obviously, indications are committed by someone who is not a fan of law enforcement.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
people, for whatever reason, have taken to writing messages on shells, on bullets, the casings. These apparently contained words that were, quote, anti-ICE. That's the report I just saw. Now, it could be that somebody wrote in there in an effort to misdirect somebody, but when you take a look at that, you probably have some idea what that person is thinking and what their motivation would be. And we do hear this, see this, on a regular basis from the left. And there is an effort by those on the left to engage in this moral equivalency deflection. Well, you know, Jeff, both sides have to turn it down. Turn down the rhetoric. Okay, well, I would ask you to show me an example where somebody on the right has engaged in this behavior. I haven't seen it. Now, how do I know that this is the organized effort on the part of the left? Because I heard it from two people yesterday who both are just basic left-of-center folks, and they both said it in exactly the same way. And so it was clear to me this is going to be the effort now on the part of the left. That you have to believe, or you should believe, or you're told to believe, well, both sides are doing this. And the reality is both sides are not doing this. I have to be honest. Not everybody has to be honest, I suppose. But I am at a point, again, in my life where, I got to tell you what's going on. I'm not lying for anybody at this point. That's just not going to happen. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.